సహ వీర్యం కరవావహై తేజస్వినావధీతమస్తు మా విద్విషావహై. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి.
Verses 33 to 37, chapter 11.
తస్మాత్వం ఉత్తిష్టయ శోలభస్వ తస్మాత్వం ఉత్తిష్టయ శోలభస్వ జిత్వా శత్రూన్ భూష్వ రాజ్యం సమృద్ధం జిత్వా శత్రూన్ భూష్వ రాజ్యం సమృద్ధం మయైవైతే నిహతా పూర్వమేవ మయైవైతే నిహతా పూర్వమేవ నిమిత్తమాత్రం భవ సవ్యసాచిన్ నిమిత్తమాత్రం భవ సవ్యసాచిన్ తస్మాత్వముత్తిష్టయ శోలభస్వ జిత్వా శత్రూన్ భూష్వ రాజ్యం సమృద్ధం మయైవైతే నిహతా పూర్వమేవ నిమిత్తమాత్రం భవ సవ్యసాచిన్. ద్రోణం చ భీష్మం చ దయద్రతం చ ద్రోణం చ భీష్మం చ దయద్రతం చ కర్ణం సతామ్యానపి యోధవీరాన్ కర్ణం సతామ్యానపి యోధవీరాన్ మయా హతాం త్వం జహి మావ్యతిష్ట మయా హతస్త్వం జహి మావ్యతిష్ట యుద్ధస్వ జేతా కిరణే సపత్నాన్ యుద్ధస్వ జేతా కిరణే ద్రోణం చ భీష్మం చ జయద్రథం చ కర్ణం సతామ్యానపి యోధవీరాన్ మయా హతాం త్వం జహి మావ్యతిష్ట యుద్ధస్వ జేతా కిరణే సపత్నాన్. సంజయ ఉవాచ సంజయ ఉవాచ ఏతచ్చుత్వా వచనం కేశవస్య ఏతచ్చుత్వా వచనం కేశవస్య కృతాంజలిద్వీపమాన కిరీటి కృతాంజలిద్వీపమాన కిరీటి నమస్కృత్వా భూయైవాహ కృష్ణం నమస్కృత్వా భూయైవాహ కృష్ణం సగద్గతం వీత వీత ప్రణమ్య సగద్గతం వీత వీత ప్రణమ్య. సంజయ ఉవాచ ఏతచ్చుత్వా వచనం కేశవస్య కృతాంజలిర్వీపమాన కిరీటి నమస్కృత్వా భూయైవాహ కృష్ణం సగద్గతం వీత వీత ప్రణమ్య. అర్జున ఉవాచ అర్జున ఉవాచ తానే ఋషికేశ తవ ప్రకీర్త్యా తానే ఋషికేశ తవ ప్రకీర్త్యా జగత్ప్రహృష్యత్యనురజ్యతే చ జగత్ప్రహృష్యత్యనురజ్యతే చ రక్షాంసి భీతాని దిశో ద్రవంతి రక్షాంసి భీతాని దిశో ద్రవంతి సర్వే నమస్యంతి చ సిద్ధసంగాః సర్వే నమస్యంతి చ సిద్ధసంగాః. అర్జున ఉవాచ తానే ఋషికేశ తవ ప్రకీర్త్యా జగత్ప్రహృష్యత్యనురజ్యతే చ రక్షాంసి భీతాని దిశో ద్రవంతి సర్వే నమస్యంతి చ సిద్ధసంగాః. కస్మాచతేన నమేరం మహాత్మన్ కస్మాచతేన నమేరం మహాత్మన్ గరీయసే బ్రహ్మణోప్యాదికత్రే గరీయసే బ్రహ్మణోప్యాదికత్రే అనంతదేవేశ జగన్నివాస అనంతదేవేశ జగన్నివాస త్వమక్షరం సదసత్తత్పరం యత్ త్వమక్షరం సదసత్తత్పరం యత్ కస్మాచతేన నమేరం మహాత్మన్ గరీయసే బ్రహ్మణోప్యాదికత్రే అనంతదేవేశ జగన్నివాస త్వమక్షరం సదసత్తత్పరం యత్.
ವಿಶ್ವರೂಪ ದರ್ಶನ ಯೋಗ.
ಅರ್ಜುನ ಆಸ್ಕ್ಡ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ರಿಕ್ವೆಸ್ಟೆಡ್ ಹಿಮ್, ಇಫ್ ಯು ಥಿಂಕ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಫೈಡ್ ಟು ಸೀ ದ ವಿಶ್ವರೂಪ, ಪ್ಲೀಸ್ ಶೋ ಮಿ ದ ವಿಶ್ವರೂಪ. ಐ ವುಡ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಟು ಸೀ ಆಲ್ ಆಫ್ ದೆಮ್ ಇನ್ ಒನ್. ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಪ್ರೀವಿಯಸ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸೆಡ್, ಹಿ ಪಾಯಿಂಟೆಡ್ ಔಟ್ ವೇರಿಯಸ್ ಆಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿಸ್ ಯೂನಿವರ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಸೆಡ್, ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್, ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್, ಎಕ್ಸೆಟ್ರಾ. ಸೊ ನಾವು ಅರ್ಜುನ ಶೋ ಆಸ್ಕ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ಪ್ಲೀಸ್ ಶೋ ಮಿ ದ ವಿಶ್ವರೂಪ ದರ್ಶನ. ಬಟ್ ಬಿಫೋರ್ ಆಸ್ಕಿಂಗ್ ಹಿ ಸೇಸ್, ಇಫ್ ಯು ಥಿಂಕ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಫೈಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಶೋ. ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಮಿಡಿಯೇಟ್ಲಿ ಶೋಸ್, ಬಟ್ ದೆನ್ ರಿಯಲೈಸಸ್ ದಟ್ ಅರ್ಜುನ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾವಿಂಗ್ ದಟ್ ಐ ಟು ಸೀ ದಟ್. ಸೊ ಗಿವ್ಸ್ ಇಮ್ ದಟ್ ಇನಿಷಿಯೇಷನ್. ಬೇಸಿಕಲಿ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಅ ಪ್ರಾಸೆಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಇನಿಷಿಯೇಷನ್. ಅಂಡ್ ಒನ್ಸ್ ದಿ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಓಪನ್ಸ್ ಅಪ್, ಹಿ ಸೀಸ್ ದ ವೇರಿಯಸ್ ಡೆಪ್ತ್, ದ ಡೆಪ್ತ್ ದಟ್ ಇಸ್ ವಿದಿನ್, ಅಂಡ್ ಹೀ ಈಸ್ ಸೀಯಿಂಗ್ ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್. ಅಂಡ್ ಇನಿಷಿಯಲಿ ಈ ಸೀಯಿಂಗ್ ದಿ ನೈಸ್ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ಸ್, ಆಲ್ ದಿ ಐಶ್ವರ್ಯ ಈ ಸೀಯಿಂಗ್, ಅಂಡ್ ವೆನ್ ಈ ಸೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ಐಶ್ವರ್ಯ ಈಸ್ ಮೋರ್ ಎಕ್ಸೈಟೆಡ್, ಹಿ ವಾಂಟ್ಸ್ ಟು ಸಿ ಮೋರ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಮೋರ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಮೋರ್. ನೌ ಸಡನ್ಲಿ ಈ ಕಮ್ಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಉಗ್ರ ಸೆನ್ಸ್, ದಿ ಇನ್ಫಿನಿಟಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಬೋತ್ ದಿ ಪಾಸಿಟಿವ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದಿ ನೆಗೆಟಿವ್. ವೆನ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ಪಾಸಿಟಿವ್ ಈಸ್ ಸೀಯಿಂಗ್, he's enjoying. The moment he starts seeing all the death, etc., etc., and he's seeing everybody being crushed, pulverized, he couldn't take it anymore. So he's asking Shri Krishna, make known to me who you are, 31. Make known to me who you are, fierce in form, salutation to you, O Supreme God, have mercy, I desire to know you. The Primaver, I know not indeed your purpose. So then immediately Shri Krishna says, I am the Kala, I am the all annihilating time. Everything gets annihilated by time, isn't it? Like in Bhajan Govinda, he says, Kala kridati gachati ayuhu tadapina munchati asha ayuhu. Like Kala is playing, time flies, time sports. Before you realize, suddenly you see one grey hair, then slowly a few grey hairs. Slowly people start calling you auntie, uncle, grandmother, grandfather, you know. So he's saying, I am the mighty world-destroying time, engaged here in annihilating the world. Everything is passing. You have not reflected enough and therefore thought that you are kind of going to be permanent. Nothing is permanent. Youth is not permanent either. So everything is being annihilated by me. I am the Kala here. Even without you all, these warriors arrayed in the opposing armies shall not live. Even if you say, like in first chapter, he said, no, I will not fight. I will not fight. See, the biggest problem is, we start thinking that we are indispensable. Nothing in this universe, nobody in this universe is indispensable. Even the great, even if God himself comes down in the form of a physical body, he has to give up his body. That's what we understand from the death of Ram and the death of Krishna. Because the physical form has to go. It will not be permanent. So I am that. And he says, by the Kala Chakra, according to everybody's karma, nobody is going to live. So you, if you say, I will not fight, somebody will come and they'll take them out. Now this 33rd verse is a little important verse. That's why I was telling last week, it so happened that she had a question also. It was a very interesting and important question, so we discussed that and the whole class went to that. And I said, at least if, you know, majority of them are there, next week we could do this verse 33. Let's do 33.
ತಸ್ಮತ್ತಿಷ್ಟಯಶೋಲಭಸ್ವ ಜಿತ್ವಾ ಶತ್ರೂನ್ ಭೂತ್ವ ರಾಜ್ಯಂ ಸಮೃದ್ಧಂ ಜಿತ್ವಾ ಶತ್ರೂನ್ ಭೂತ್ವ ರಾಜ್ಯಂ ಸಮೃದ್ಧಂ ಮಯೈವೈತೆ ನಿಹತಾ ಪೂರ್ವಮೇವ ನಿಮಿತ್ತ ಮಾತ್ರಂ ಭವ ಸವ್ಯಸಾಚ್ಯಂ ನಿಮಿತ್ತ ಮಾತ್ರಂ ಭವ ಸವ್ಯಸಾಚ್ಯಂ ತಸ್ಮತ್ತಿಷ್ಟಯಶೋಲಭಸ್ವ ಜಿತ್ವಾ ಶತ್ರೂನ್ ಭೂತ್ವ ರಾಜ್ಯಂ ಸಮೃದ್ಧಂ ಮಯೈವೈತೆ ನಿಹತಾ ಪೂರ್ವಮೇವ ನಿಮಿತ್ತ ಮಾತ್ರಂ ಭವ ಸವ್ಯಸಾಚ್ಯಂ.
If you can memorize the entire verse, fine. Otherwise, the last portion of this verse where it says nimitta matram bhava savya sakshi. Nimitta matram. Nimitta matram means what? Instrument. So, savya sakshin. Oh, Arjuna. Arjuna is referred here as savya sakshin. Savya sakshin means one who is ambidextrous. One who can wield his weapons with equal dexterity using both his hands. Supposing he is tied with right hand, he can use left hand. He will be equally powerful. So he is saying, oh savya sakshin, oh great Arjuna, who is so ambidextrous and all talented and everything, you are also only a small instrument in the hands of Prabhupada. What we need to understand is, out of ignorance, we project ego. And when the ignorance is really too much, the ego is so consolidated, it becomes solid. Then slowly, little bit, when it gets diluted, it becomes like liquid. That is rajas. When it is solid, it is tamas. Then when little bit gets diluted, it becomes liquidized rajas. And then little more knowledge touches it, it gets more evaporated. It comes to the state of vaporization, that is sattva. And even that is gone, it is merged with Brahman. There is no more ignorance remaining. You have gone beyond all the three gunas and you have reached the self. So in the first chapter, you see, he was telling Sri Krishna, take my chariot and place it in between both the arms. Suddenly he is saying, my chariot. When Sri Krishna is sitting on the same chariot, he is claiming the chariot to be his, mine. That ego is so much. So he is totally collapsed. The ego becomes solidified. Your actions become negligible. You become inactive. That's what happened in the first chapter. When there is too much of ego issue between two individuals, there is a kati. Will not talk to each other, you know. So that action becomes completely zero. And slowly gets into rajas and then to sattva and then to transattva. If you heat up your personality with knowledge on a regular basis, on a daily basis, if you heat your personality with knowledge, then the ego will completely melt. So this is what Sri Krishna is trying to tell Arjuna here. O Savya Sachin, O Arjuna, O great warrior, be an instrument. Tasma, therefore, having explained everything, having shown the Vishwarupa, now he is saying, I am the Kala, therefore, please, Tasma, Uttishta. Uttishta, Uttishta, Uttishta. Even Swami Vivekananda famously said, arise, awake, and stop not till the goal is reached. Throughout the Gita, Sri Krishna says, Uttishta, Uttishta. Why? Why Uttishta?
Away from the current state of...
Current state of?
Ego, samadhi.
Away from the current state to which you have fallen. Remember, I've been quoting, I don't know how many of you have seen that movie, you have not seen Please See It. Honey, I shrunk my kids. You think it's for children. But this is exactly what we have done with ourselves. We are the infinite, limitless Atma Brahman, but we have shrunk ourselves to Mamta, Sadhana, Lakshmi Narayana. Right. So Sri Krishna is saying, from this fallen state, get up. You have fallen yourself. Nobody has made you to fall into this state. There is a very, very interesting quotation Swami Ramakrishna gives. He says, a slave is a slave because he is free. In fact, I quoted this before and explained also. So I don't know how many of you got it. A slave is a slave because he is free. What do you understand from that?
He has chosen freedom.
You are absolutely free and you have exercised the freedom wrongly, as a result of which you have reduced yourself to the level of a slave. Now, if you were enslaved by somebody else, if I enslaved you, then I have to come and release you. If you you have mentally out of ignorance enslaved yourself. Only you have to exercise your freedom and gain knowledge and release yourself. Nobody else. That's why we say, course of Guru cannot help you. Because Guru comes and gives you the knowledge, the chabi, then you say, oh, you are really nice. You are a very nice person. You really take care of me. Guru doesn't want all this. Fake Guru may want it. True Guru says, Baba, you have the chabi. I have given you the knowledge. Follow. No. Please, don't talk like this. No, we continue like this. Because you got used to being in this slavish thing. How did you fall into this condition? You have conditioned yourself without thinking. The moment you start asking questions, you instantly start seeing the fakeness of this whole egoistic existence. There is no reality about it at all. So, it's just that you don't stop and question yourself. And also, you know, in a way, the traditions, all these things are also conditioned. Who can I question? If I question, isn't it pop? And also another thing, how can I be God? You can say, I am God. No, that is not possible. I like to be a servant of the greatest servant of Lord in the Puranas is Hanumanji, isn't it? If you think of service, you think of Hanumanji from our Puranas. And Hanumanji, who is also extremely well learned, is well versed in Vedas. Great thinker as well. He says, Deha Bhave Dasu. Jiva Bhave Vadamshakasa. Atma Bhave Vameva. He says, when I compare my personality with yours, from the point of view of the body, I am Dasa. I am thy servant. Deha Bhave Dasu. Jiva Bhave, when I compare my personality from the level of the mind and your personality from the level of the mind, then I am part of you. Jiva Bhave Tvad Amshakaha. Mind is an aspect of Brahman. Actually the shadow of Brahman. Okay. Then he says, Atma Bhave. From the central point of view, Tvameva Aham. I am also you. I am also that reality only. The greatest servant. But we say, I would like to be this small, limited only. Remember that. You have enslaved yourself due to your ignorance, non-thinking. Nobody has enslaved you. You have the freedom. You can open up yourself. All you need is the knowledge. But the thing is, when you open your eyes, instantly you will see the truth. But you may take days, months, years, janmas to open your eyes. 11 chapters we are almost going to complete now. Still we are struggling to open our eyes. Right. And when I say this, what I mean to say is, there is a very interesting book, somebody gifted me when I was studying in the ashram. It was called 1 Minute Wisdom. You know, 1 Minute Wisdom. I forget the author's name. Very interesting book. All it takes for you to see is 1 minute. When you open your eyes, it's instantaneous. All it takes to open your eyes and see is 1 minute. But it can take janmas together to open your eyes. And if you are actually sleeping, it is relatively easy to wake you up. But if you are pretending to be sleeping, one can never wake you up. So, we got to find out where we are. So, in fact, self-realization is easy once you get this point. I have proved my ignorance limited by myself. Nobody else. They called me with a name and I distinct myself to believe that I am that name. They identified me with the body and I psyched myself and I accepted that I am this body. Isn't it?
Why did you accept yourself to be this body?
It's our ignorance. That's all they are asking you to think. So Sri Krishna is saying, Tasmat Tvam Uttishta Arjuna. Wake up. You have now imagined yourself to be this Arjuna, who is the great-great-grandson of Bhishma, who learnt this from Drona. In the world, each one has a certain role to play as a manifested being. Okay? Therefore, wake up, come to the reality, relative reality, mein jo aap karna. In your case, it happens to be fighting the battle as a Kshatriya. Simply do it. Tasmat Tvam Uttishta Yasho Labhasva. The yasha, the greatness, the name, the fame, everything comes to a person only when he rises from the ego. The real yasha is when you wake up from the ego. So he says, conquer this kingdom. Gain this kingdom, everything, wake up, just be an instrument. They are all already killed. So what do you mean by already killed?
Everyone has to die.
Everyone has to die is different. He is starting that, especially with reference to the Kauravas here. Kauravas. Therefore, you arise and acquire fame. Having conquered the force, enjoy the prosperous kingdom. Verily they have already been slain by me. You be a mere instrument of Savyasachya. Nimitta matram bhava Savyasachya. What does it mean? They have already been slain means what?
I think
their body is
alive.
Their body is alive?
No, but in their body, in their form they are alive. But they actually, their karma, their actions are already
killed. So you might as well kill them.
They're
going to get killed.
How?
By their own
actions. Remember, in Vedanta we say, you are punished by your actions. You are punished or rewarded by your actions, not for your actions. There is no somebody sitting up the cloud there and then punishing you for all your actions. So Ramakrishna says, there is nobody sitting up the cloud there. If there is one poor fellow, will catch cold. You think there is somebody up there, giving you judgment based on your actions, etc. What you need to understand is, your own actions become the seed and the result would depend upon your action. So you are punished or rewarded by your action, not for your action.
So let's say Arjuna was not killed because of their past. For his past action.
So he has to be the Kshatriya.
He has to be
the Kshatriya.
That's all
he is. See, remember, in fact, I'll tell you, in a nutshell, if you want to put Bhagavad Gita down, that's all he is saying. He is saying, remove the doership. And do the action. Execute the ego, execute the action. That's all. If you want to put the entire Bhagavad Gita in one line, it really doesn't matter what you do. What matters is how you do it. See, do you see this kind of complex in animals? I'm saying it really doesn't matter what you do. What matters is how you do it. If you do it with the doership or do you do it without doership? That's all. We are more concerned about what we do, but for sure whatever we do, we are doing it with doership.
Going by that, just
When we hear of these suicide bombers, obviously there is no ego in them because they are killing themselves.
Is that okay?
They
have ego.
They
want to go to heaven, no?
They have the ego because they want to go to heaven.
Yeah.
What is this going to heaven?
Brainwashed. And that's what we all see. We don't know. We never step into their feet.
No, then why? So
what was Arjun doing? That he's a kshatriya. He can kill because he's killing for the better. Who's telling him that?
The question is not whether you are killing for the better or not.
No, you are killing.
Remove the doership. The moment you remove the doership, you become like a child. You have no interest in the outcome of the action. Go and read verse 38, chapter 2. Please read. Read the translation of chapter 2, verse 38. Verse 38, chapter 2. Translation only. Just read the English translation.
Treating alike pleasure and pain, gain and loss, victory and defeat, then get ready for battle, thus you will not incur sin.
That's all. Treating alike pleasure and pain, gain and loss, victory and defeat, then get ready for the battle, then you will not incur any sin. This is the crux of Sri Krishna's message. You have no interest in the victory, you have no interest in the defeat, you have no interest in even somehow establishing dharma or anything. That is all a very relative interpretation that we give. All that you need to do is, I am like a judge, like a lawyer. You represent your client, right, as best as you can. That's it. You are seeing the whole thing objectively. If you see, then I am not getting involved. When I is not there, there is no more karma.
Objectivity is also for your mind.
Pardon?
Objectivity in this case is also for your mind, for the individual's mind.
Understood wrongly the word objectivity. We use the word objectivity to mean to stand apart and deliver.
Yeah.
Not getting involved. See, I am nobody. 1 minute now. You ask any lawyer, what would they say? I am nobody to judge him guilty, or I am nobody to judge him non-guilty.
Right.
I just take the case and present the case as per the law.
But they are abided by that law. They are not.
That's what I'm trying to say. As per the law, if you supposing lose the battle, accept that.
That's okay.
Let me finish now. So where is the ego there? I am a kshatriya. She is a dancer. You are a singer. Somebody is a cricketer in a society. As per our nature. I am without getting involved, go and do what I am supposed to do. Without getting involved, she does what she is supposed to do. Without any expectation of the outcome or anything. Just doing what ought to be done with your ego.
Your job is not to murder people.
Where is the murdering? It becomes murder only when I comes. When I is not there, it seems to be murder.
But you say that you are a kshatriya and your duty or your true nature is to go fight a battle.
Yes.
That is not what a kshatriya is.
When
kshatriya
you are...
to defend.
That's what I'm trying to say, defense.
But he's fighting himself and he's saying that you go into
the battle. Did you read Mahabharata properly? First they tried. Sama.
We are between Krishna and Arjuna here.
Exactly. I'm telling you the same thing, madam. Please listen. First, Sama. They try to avoid the battle by talking to them. Dana, Veda, everything they tried. Then the war was imposed on them by the Kauravas. So they are defending, number one. Please remember this. Number two, even on the battlefield, I pointed out to you, verse number 12 of chapter 1, where first Bhishma takes out the punch and blows the punch. I even pointed out it to you. Go and listen to the first lecture. Bhishma declared the war and Krishna then accepted by blowing his punch. Arjuna accepted, then blowing his punch.
So they were defending. Now that you have no choice but to fight defending, do it. Victory may come, loss may come, gain may come, or what do you call, you may lose also. Doesn't matter. It may be profit, it may be loss. I am supposed to do what I am supposed to do, like a child. Just being like a child in that same innocence, don't do what you have to do. Then there is no sin. If you had brought your eye, somehow, even if there is an element of eye, remember the example we gave, there is a big bowl of milk. There is only one drop of poison. Would you still drink the milk? Till that milk is poisoned. Similarly, even if there is an element of ego, that let me establish dharma, even that is ego. Krishna is now telling Arjuna, even do it without that also. Nimitta matra means just an instrument. Does the instrument have mind? You don't even think of what profit, loss, nothing. What is my sadharma? If your sadharma happens to be business, do business. If your sadharma happens to be lawyer, do lawyer, law, practice law. If it is medicine, practice medicine. If it is dance, dance. If it is sports, sports. Like that, each one, just dropping the ego. That's all Sri Krishna is saying. When you do like that, then there is no murder that you are committing. Murder is only when the eye is there. When eye is not there, there is no murder. Think about it. I have no interest in killing anybody, I have no interest in saving anybody else. Neither is not that. Because I myself is not there in me. Why is about the I? Then get ready for that. That's what Sri Krishna is saying. Why are you assuming that ego, that you are going to be the savior of the universe? Nothing like that. Universe is going to take care of itself. If you do your service, you will remove your karma. That's all. For your sake you do. There's a beautiful lecture by Swami Vivekananda. It's called Service the Need of the Heart, in which he says, the world is not in need of your service. But by doing service, you become purified. The more and more you serve, you become purified. And in a purified self, the Atma reflects brilliantly. So you have to do the service for your sake. This is the same thing Mahatma Gandhi said in a different way. When you serve somebody, be grateful to that person who gave you an opportunity to serve. So that's all he's saying here. Amiji. So he's not saying go and murder, go and fight, finish them off. They have offended you, it is your job to defend, do it, that's all. Do it to the best of your ability. And he is going one step and saying here, as a person who has gone deeper, who is able to see the clear karma functioning. Remember that we have spoken before, when you are sitting here, you can see both the ends of the curtain. But an ant which is crawling from there cannot see the other end of the curtain, for it is future. But from here, from this height, you can see this also. Similarly, Sri Krishna, who has gone deeper beyond his mind and reached the self, is able to clearly see the karma function. How much opportunity they get? Last, before the war could be started also, Sri Krishna went as an emissary. Tried to talk to Duryodhan. You know what Duryodhan tried? Duryodhan did that time. He tried to imprison Sri Krishna. And there also one Sri Krishna came out of it showing Vishwarupa Krishna, etc. This is what the story says. So, Krishna is never a warmonger. Again, go listen to the introductory lectures. I even said, Shakespeare, I quoted, beware of entrance to a quarrel. Being in, beareth that the enemy beware of thee. You remember? That thy enemy, you are not having enemy, you are not considering him as your enemy. But he is considering you as his enemy. And he is fighting against you. Now just do your best.
Don't even fight to win, don't even fight to lose. But here he is just trying to say, as per their own actions, they have done so much, so many opportunities were given to them to rectify their karma. They never did that. And therefore, they are all eliminated by their own actions. If you do not kill, somebody else will come in that. Why are you thinking that you are killing them? Nature annihilates everything according to the karma. Things keep on changing according to karma. You know. So if you are there at some position, why are you imagining that I am being killed? Just make sure that you have no personal interest in giving that fellow a pink slip. But if he has been a non-performer all the while, you know, actually this happened. Somebody was asking me this question. He had to eliminate one of his team members. And this is a very painful thing. Because usually what happens in corporates and all that, they have this get together, then the wife starts becoming friends. Each one going to their house, this house, but you are the boss in the office. Now you are told to eliminate, to give pink slip. Because it's an extremely difficult role to play. So one gentleman who was attending my class, he had to do this. And in one of the get-togethers, I met the other fellows. Because they in fact made me give a small talk. So I know all these guys. He was saying, I don't know what to do now. Because we know each other as family for almost many years. But then I am the team leader and that fellow, we have given him so many opportunities, we have even told him, you are not a team player. You are individually good, but you are not getting into the team. You know? So many times they told him, warnings were given, etc., etc. But he was not amending his ways. Now, he has been told to give him the pink slip and he was saying, how can I do this? Literally I quoted the same 33rd verse of chapter 11 and told him, you got to do this. Nothing. There is no, see, when I sit here in the Vyasapeetha, at that time I said certain things. There is nothing personal here. You understand? I know. When I go to somewhere else, supposing I am listening to you on some other thing, then I become your student there. That role, what it demands, do it effectively and move. That's it. Remember, we quoted Nike, just do it. We put one more word and get out. That's what objective is. Not what the mind thinks is objective. In the role, what you have to do it and get out. Very interesting, you know, this Anil Kumble has recently taken over as the coach of Indian team, cricket team, head coach of Indian cricket team for 1 year. And they already, somehow some controversy happens everywhere and probably some people want controversy, I don't know. So this question was asked him in the first media interaction between him and the media. What is brewing between Ravi Shastri and Saurav Ganguly? Do you know what he said? He immediately started off by saying, it is nothing to do with individuals. The focus should be on the team. This guy is smart enough. He said, why are we focusing on individuals? Let's focus on the team. What matters is the team, and he started talking about something else. But if you lose the objective, you will get dragged. And then something can be spun on what you say. He simply said, I'm not using the exact words, but what he ultimately said was finally this, why focus on individuals, focus on team. And then he said, as an individual, I will not be the head coach. It's not a permanent post. When I am there, what I am supposed to do and get out. So this is what Sri Krishna is saying. Oh, how can I kill? Okay, don't kill. Go, somebody else will come. Nature, if this is what they deserve, nature will give them through somebody or the other. If you happen to be there, you enjoy the kingdom, you enjoy the benefits that come out of it. you are appointed as a judge. So as a result of that, you are given certain perks. Get that, and once that retirement happens, move. Whatever is the next role, do that, keep moving. Why are you getting unnecessarily involved? This is the message that Sri Krishna is giving in the 33rd verse of chapter 11. Nimitta Matram, Bhava Savya Sach.
That means he's endorsing destiny.
He's not endorsing destiny. Okay, he's endorsing destiny the way Vedanta explains it. Not the way a layman understands. Layman understands destiny as what? As somebody who has already written. Okay. He is not endorsing that sort of destiny here. What he is saying is,
exactly.
We discussed this. There is two laws parallelly going. Law of destiny and law of karma. Law of destiny means law of prarabdha. Law of karma. There are two laws. What is law of prarabdha or law of destiny saying?
Past actions have determined your current state.
Present. And what is law of karma say?
What you do now determines your future. Right. Karma.
एक मिनट प्लीज नाउ यू आर ऑल गेटिंग इन्वॉल्व निमित्त मात्र सी यू आर द प्रोडक्ट ऑफ द पास्ट दैट इज व्हाट लॉ ऑफ डेस्टिनी से Your past choices. Okay? Your future is past modified in the present. Your future will be what choices you make today, mixing up with your past, and the turnout will be the future. Outcome will be the future. You have painted a particular color on the wall. You want to change it to another. Already 3 or 4 coats have been done. So you want to change the color. So you paint another color on it. Immediately, that another color that you painted will not establish itself there. The mixture you will see. Isn't it?
Yes.
But if you continue painting that another color, new color, second or third coat, now the new color will be established there. So where is somebody sitting up the cloud and doing this? This is what a layman understands as destiny. What Vedanta says is, your own past actions have determined your present, your own past choices. So now if you consciously make choices in the present, you can modify your future. But your future will not modify like this, because it's mixing with the past. But if you consistently put in that, then the future will establish itself as you want. Therefore Vedanta says, you are the architect of your fortune, you are the architect of your misfortune. That's all. Vedanta does not say that somebody who is sitting there has already written it and accordingly everything is panning out. No.
No, I never meant that.
You never meant. I very carefully said, like the layman thinks.
No. What I meant was also that on your past actions, your future is decided, which is your destiny.
Yes, that's what she is saying.
So they are saying that, you know, it's already done,
that's made. I am not saying, see, your, in other words, what your question is,
Your question, let me put it in a different way. You are saying Sri Krishna is also endorsing what you are saying. It's the other way around. I am endorsing what Sri Krishna is saying. Basically, Sri Krishna is saying in the Upanishads, in the Vedas, and all these masters are saying what I just now said. They are not endorsing what I said. I am endorsing what I said. Or I am understanding and representing, interpreting it to you.
No, I am saying the same thing, but I am not saying any difference.
So what's your question now?
Because that means that there is something like destiny. That is my question.
There is something like destiny. Who said no? From the beginning we have been saying in Vedanta class, you are a product of the past and producer of the future. Okay? Then why did you even think that it has to be somewhere, some other way? Destiny in this sense, yes, Vedanta accepts destiny in this sense. But at the same time, like I told you, you are always having the freedom to change it or continue. You are already, all the time the freedom is with you to change it or strengthen it further. That's always there with you, the freedom. But that freedom is only a single unit freedom. The past is a very solid momentum. Are you with me? But consistently if you use that freedom, you can change the past. But suddenly, once in a while, if you use, doesn't mean you don't have change. Like an alcoholic, for example. He is an alcoholic. He wants to change. He wants to become teetotaler. But he says, no, I will not. But what happens? Suddenly the force takes in and he has. But if he continues putting in the effort, slowly over a period of time, he becomes a teetotaler. That's how we are saying. That's how Vedanta is saying. So from that sense, Vedanta, of course, talks about this. At the same time, whenever it talks about destiny, it immediately talks about free will. In fact, your destiny is nothing but sigma free will. Your destiny is nothing but sigma free will. If you exercise your free will consciously with the help of knowledge, if you strengthen your free will and exercise it slowly, you can create your own destiny. In fact, you are creating your own destiny. Only thing is you are doing it unconsciously. Now, with knowledge, you can create your own destiny consciously. That is why, from a different angle, Vedanta says, oh, this person is affecting me, that person is affecting me, these are the situations that are affecting me. Vedanta says, no situation, no person would be crossing your ways in life if only your karma did not deserve it. So they are crossing your way, situations are crossing your way because your karma demands it. So what do? If you really understand this law, what do you do? You work to change your karma. You stop blaming them coming in your way. The fact that you stop blaming them itself, you will find suddenly 50% of peace has come back. Isn't it? And then 50%, with that 50% peace, you will work more to change your karma. When your karma is changed, either you will be transferred or they will be transferred to different location in the world or out of the world. It's a law.
Even if they are there, they will not affect you.
That's what I am saying. That's in the beginning itself. Secondly, I am trying to say, when your thoughts change, the world changes. So that is why by constantly thinking them, you are creating them in your thoughts. You are keeping them in your thoughts. They will re-enter you. Unnecessarily, why are you creating that relationship? That is why Jesus Christ said, resist not evil. Judge not others, resist not evil. What is the famous statement of Jesus Christ when he says, resist not evil means, if you resist, you will make the evil persist. That means you are calling as evil. It is there also for your karma, because of your karma only. So if you change your karma without resisting it, it will go away. Please understand how the law works. So come back to this verse. So he is saying, as per their own actions of the past, they are finished. The sense, they have gone very deep.
It's impossible. Theoretically possible. Practically impossible. How much chance was given to that fellow? Nothing reached. Therefore, it's impossible that they will be left alone. Next. Dronamcha Bhishmamcha Jayadratamcha Dronamcha Bhishmamcha Jayadratamcha Karnam Satamyana Piyodha Viram Karnam Satamyana Piyodha Viram Maya Hatamskum Jahimavya Dishta Maya Hatamskum Jahimavya Dishta Yudhyasva Jeta Thirane Sapatna Yudhyasva Jeta Thirane Sapatna Dronamcha Bhishmamcha Jayadratamcha Jayadratamcha Karnam Satamyana Piyodha Viram Maya Hatam Swam Jahimavya Dishta Yudhyasva Jeta Thirane Sapatnan. Drona, Bhishma, these are the two reasons why Arjuna would not fight, his attachment, and Jayadratta. And Karna has also other heroic warriors already slain by me. Already slain by me means karma. Today in this context, Sri Krishna is identifying himself with Kala. Kala and saying, they are already killed by me as per the karma. You kill them. Be not distressed. Be not distressed. Fight. That too, what you ought to do. Fight here means obligation. You shall conquer the enemies in battle.
It is important to remember the verse 32 where he says, I am the
Kala.
Kala.
Yeah.
In this context.
So, law of karma, basically. I am the law of karma is as per the law. They have so much of negative, so they have to reap it now. See, you can never ever escape the law of karma. You have to therefore exhaust your karma. So he is just trying to say, understanding this, be an instrument and then conquer the enemy in the battle. In fact, when you have risen above your ego, you will do your obligation with full force. Because there is no handbrake now. The gadi is driving the car with no handbrakes on. To the extent the ego is present, to that extent there is handbrake. Isn't it? When you drive a car without handbrake, will you not enjoy? First of all, you will be more productive. Your drive also you will enjoy. It will benefit the vehicle also. Unnecessarily you are putting the handbrake on and driving the car. That's all you see. All this, the very interesting thing is, as per the story of Mahabharata, the first 11 days of the battle, out of 18 days, when they had the Kurukshetra war, first 11 days, Karna did not fight. You know that? Karna didn't fight. Karna didn't come to the battlefield to fight. Because there was always a problem between him and Bhishma. And Bhishma was the commander-in-chief of the army for the first 11 days. Only after Bhishma fell, Drona was made the commander-in-chief. Only then Karna enters. What do you think? Now, even though Karna is not on the battlefield, Sri Krishna is talking about Karna. See that? Because the Bhagavad Gita is the first day of the battle, no? So what is the verse saying? Drona, Bhishma, Jayadratha, Jayadratha and
Karna.
Karna.
So that's the Karna of Karna.
Sri Krishna is able to see the entire war even before it has happened. I already explained that many times. How a person when he goes within, goes beyond time. I connected the mind and time. All of you please come back from vacation. Mind and time. In deep sleep, are you aware of time? Why in deep sleep there is no mind? Mind, when you are happy, the time flies. When you are unhappy, the time drags. Time and mind are interconnected. When your mind is restlessly going every direction, it consumes time, isn't it? But if your mind can be focused, your mind can be focused without it wandering, you conquer time. Isn't it? So mind and time are interconnected. Please understand this. In fact, this is exactly what we say in our time management. There is no such thing as time management. There is only such thing as mind management. Because if you know how to manage your mind, you know how to manage your time. Who consumes time? Mind consumes time, no? Mind is a great consumer. Isn't it? If your mind can be focused, it consumes very little time. You finish your work like this. But when your mind is not focused, going either over everywhere, then you consume time. So that's what here Sri Krishna is trying to say. When you go beyond mind, you can see the past, present and future. He's seeing it and he's saying, even karma is finished as well. Everybody is finished. You simply relax. Don't be anxious of future. Just relax and do what has to be done. How much ever we study this, it is very difficult for us today. We do not want to be the nimitta matra. See, Sri Krishna, in the context when he was told to be a charioteer, he was a charioteer. In a certain function, he was given the responsibility of manning the chapel stand. He said, okay, I'll do that. It's only the human being who does this. No animals, no other being does this. Isn't it? Whatever is their niyati, they go in there. No tiger would like to be a lion, no lion would like to be a tiger. It will just be what it is. But only we say, oh. Supposing you are the driver of a prime minister, driving the car of prime minister every day. As soon as the car reaches the place, two, three people come and open the door and all that is given to the prime minister. The driver is thinking, I am not getting this, I would like to be the prime minister. We are not saying driver can never be the prime minister. Cannot aspire to be the prime minister, should not aspire to be the prime minister. But when you are the driver, why you cannot have the self-esteem in being the driver? It's only the human being. You know, remember that poem, Mountain and the Squirrel. What is the Mountain and the Squirrel poem saying? When the mountain said, I am big, I can conquer. I can conquer. I am this, I am big, I am big. And what did the squirrel say? I don't deny the fact that you make a very pretty squirrel track. Right? And if I am not so big as you are, if I am not so large as you are not so small as I. It takes up a ear and a spear to make, it takes up everything, it takes up a ear and a spear to make up this universe. Isn't it? Even I play a small role. In Rama conquering Ravana, even monkeys played a role. Squirrel played a role. Rocks played a role. Rocks were floating. Are you with me? Everything other than human being in this universe does what it ought to do. Only human being would like to be that. This is the problem. If we can understand this, whatever role God has given me, which totality has given me at that moment, just do that. Keep moving. you want to be somebody else. That is the cause of all the trouble. Isn't it?
Like aspiring to be like somebody,
huh?
But aspiring to be like somebody in whichever field you are, what is wrong with that?
See, what you are actually aspiring is not that. You are, like you gave that example of driver and cyclist, that attention. But attention automatically comes if you pay attention to your work.
We do have role models, that's okay.
You draw inspiration. That is nothing wrong. Role model is not what I said. Did I say role model as role model?
No.
You draw inspiration from the role models. That's all. But the attention will come to you in your field. If you pay attention to that field, isn't it? Automatically. Isn't that what happens in any field? A fellow who paid attention in that particular field excel. Automatically everybody comes to him. But the day you stop paying attention and start paying attention to everything else around it, you stop getting attention. This is life. Are you with me? So, in the role that you play, you must have self-interest. Like the squirrel says, if I cannot, talents differ, all is well and wisely so. If I cannot carry forest on my back, neither can you crack a nut. What does it say? Talents differ, all is well and wisely put. If I cannot carry forest in my back, neither can you crack a nut. So Ramchita says, all grumblings tantamount to, oh, why a lily not an oak? Lily is not trying to be an oak, but man thinks, why this lily is not an oak? He wants to be something else. Where you are, what you are, just keep doing that as an instrument. Don't bring the ego, that's all. So all that Sri Krishna is trying to say is, you got to fight your doership first. The real enemy sitting within you is your doership. There is no enemy outside sitting. Dusron ko jai se pehle, khud ko jai kare. Understand? That ego has to be conquered. That's all he is saying. Law of karma has already finished them off. As per their own actions. By their own actions. They deserve that end. You simply do what ought to be done. Next. Sanjaya uvacha, etachrutva vachanam keshavasya, kritanjalirvepamanakiriti, namaskritva bhuyaye vaha krishnam, sagadgatam bhita bhita pranamya, Sanjaya uvacha, etachrutva vachanam keshavasya, kritanjalirvepamanakiriti, namaskritva bhuyaye vaha krishnam, sagadgatam bhita bhita pranamya. Sanjaya uvacha, Sanjaya said, the charioteer is now reporting to Dhritarashtra what is happening on the battlefield. Remember, this is nothing but report of Sanjaya. The conversation that happened between Sri Krishna and Arjuna miles away in the battlefield of Kurukshetra is reported by Sanjaya to Dhritarashtra, the blind king. So Sanjaya, the charioteer, is saying, having heard that speech of Keshava, Lord Krishna, the crowned one, Kiriti. Kiriti is referring to whom?
Arjuna.
Kiriti, the crowned one, trembling. Why? Even the crowned one falls to insignificance in the presence of Brahman. Isn't it? In the presence of your In the presence of totality, you fall insignificant. However big your achievement could be, however big your contribution could be, with reference to the contribution of the totality, yours is nothing. Negligent. Isn't it? So that's what he's saying. That brings the trembling thing with it. Meaning, he's talking about Arjuna realizing his insignificance. Initially he said, my chariot. Now he recognizes insignificance. Now he is a danger threat. He is a greater threat to Kauravas. Why? That's why Sanjaya is interfering. I'm telling Dhritarashtra, please remember, now at least you can interfere and stop the war. Why? Because Dhritarashtra is the king. Even now you have a chance to save your children. But Dhritarashtra doesn't understand. He's blind. He's too attached. Terribly attached. Saluting with joined palms. See, this bringing palms together signifies namaskar. We say namaskar. What is that? This is a very unique way of saying salute, isn't it? Throughout the world. What is that signifying?
I bow to the divinity. My divinity bows to the divinity.
Exactly. The culture of India, Bharat, is that you don't look at any being from the flesh point of view. You don't reduce any being to just a mass of flesh and bone. You understand behind the flesh and bone there is prana body. Behind the pranic body, there is mind body. Behind the mind body, there is intellect body. Behind the intellect body, there is anandamaya kosha. See, vasanas. Behind that, there is atma. Atma. Behind the pancha kosha is the atma, beneath, right? Now, you, when you see somebody, you identify with that atma, not with the sheath. It's a little difficult in Delhi. Because I'm told, I don't know. First thing they find out where you live. Which car you come by. You know. Real culture of Bharat is you don't see all that. You see the Atma. You see the Atma. And you bow down to that Atma. And other person also brings his or her palms together and say, I bow down to the Atma in him. So he is saying, saluting with joined palms. He is coming to total surrender now, Arjuna. See, I was telling you, Arjuna's surrender slowly becomes deeper. Seventh verse of chapter 2, he surrendered first. As he surrendered, he is becoming more and more surrendering. Isn't it? This is what even Guru Nanak ji says. Tera na mera. Jesus Christ said the same thing. Thy will be done, not my will be done. The individual will has to be surrendered to the will of totality. Do you think? So he says, here Arjuna is totally surrendering, slowly, bringing the palms to the bowing down, overwhelmed with fear. Overwhelmed with fear means the insignificance. Spoke again to Krishna in a choked voice, choked with devotion. You know, when you meet your guru and da, you talk in devotion. The choked, not the choked with emotions. What it means is devotion. Pardon? Fear because you understand. He's going to talk about it. Why the fear and all that? He's going to say, sorry Krishna, I called you Krishna. Hey Krishna, hey Madhava, come here, go there, like that I have spoken to you. Now I realize you. You know, that fear that I have done some thing inadvertently. Many things I have done inadvertently in my life. That's why in the end of the class we also chant, no? What do we say? What is the last prayer that we chant?
Kaina vacha manase priyeva buddhyatmana va prakrite svabhava karomi yad yad sakalam parasmai
Narayana Yeti Samarpayami. That is what he said. That I don't know, all of that karma. Knowingly I have hurt somebody, unknowingly also I have hurt. Isn't it? The fear comes up and I understand karma. Suddenly the fear comes, my God, what all I have done. Then instantly what happened? Ask for forgiveness. Isn't it? See, we go on pointing fingers at others when you yourself have done nonsense so much. The beauty of Vedanta is, if you really look at Vedantic mirror, it starts making you see yourself clearly. You have no time to complain about anybody. If you are complaining about somebody still, all that means is you have still not looked at the mirror properly. He's not started looking at the mirror. So he says, trembling, bowing down, saluting, overwhelmed with fear. He is addressing Sri Krishna and spoke these words. In choked voice. Choked voice means choked with devotion. See, devotion is nothing but sublimation of ego. Devotion is not shouting at all possible ways the names of God only. Devotion means self-elimination, individual self-ego elimination, dissolution of ego. When you go to climb this mountain Himalayas, you know, or any mountain for the matter, you see the fear comes. When you are crossing a thick forest, fear comes. Why? The group of trees there. One tree, you get fear. Two trees, you get fear. Group of trees. You suddenly become minority. Fear comes. Isn't it? A bucket of water, no fear. Ocean of water. Even if you are floating in a big, big, big ship, suddenly you see the ship being tossed with a huge wave, you realize the insignificance. Automatically what happens? Jai Shri Krishna! Devotion. Choked with devotion. That's what he's saying. Arjuna, having seen the mighty form of Sri Krishna, the Kiriti, the crowned Arjuna, the great glorious Arjuna who has won many battles, Dhananjaya, he comes down and says, Hari Om, sorry. That devotion is not enough. What he spoke, we will see next week.
पूर्णस्य पूर्णमाधाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति.
Thank you.